Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, there's a lot of wisdom going on here this morning. And I had to get a picture of it. Putting diapers on goats inside, that is surely wisdom at its finest. Your pastor also is a very wise man to schedule his high school reunion for this time period, and choosing me to ask him come and kick off a whole series on Proverbs. And I have to say that in almost 30 years of ordained ministry, this is the very first time I've ever preached from Proverbs. So I suspect that when he comes back, it might be his first time preaching on Proverbs as well. So why not get somebody who's been longer in the ministry to prove ignorance knows no bounds? And he can come in and be very wise. As I said, this is the first time I've had the opportunity to preach from the book of Proverbs. And I was quite concerned about this. And because I realized that in my seminary training, I never bought a commentary on Proverbs. But glory be to God, last Monday I had to take a trip to Gettysburg, where I went to seminary, and I had a meeting, and I went to the bookstore, which was open in late July, and I got a commentary on the book of Proverbs to help me out today. And this commentary is written by a Dr. Perdue, and he has some interesting things to say that bring out some parts of this book that I had never thought of before. Wisdom knows no bounds. In the time period that the book of Proverbs is coming together, you have a group who have come back from the exile in Babylon. And these are people who have beforehand, these are the descendants of those who were the cream of the crop of Judah. They were the sons and daughters of priests and elders and prophets, and yes, even the descendants of kings taken in exile. The ones who were left behind, the remnant, well, they were more the working class. These were the people who got up, heard the birds singing in the morning, went to work, came back, and did the same thing day in and day out, trying to scratch through, trying to make a living, trying to have whatever is left of the nation of Judah to remain. But these people who've been carted off to Babylon and their descendants had been exposed to sages and prophets and teachers from a wide variety of traditions. And they learned new ways of expressing things, new ways of learning things. And they come back to the people in Judah, and there is a tension that is built between the two groups. One group, solid. One group, secure in their routine, the things that they know, they believe are the right things. And now a new group has come in to challenge these preconceptions and to bring in new knowledge. Imagine, if you will, a people secure in their own way being challenged by new thought. Actually, I bet you don't have to imagine it. Because it still happens today. It still happens. Wisdom is always challenged by people who are so sure of themselves that they are unwilling to even dialogue with somebody who's different, who has a different way of doing things, a different way of thinking, a different way of even perceiving reality. You don't have to go any further than what's happening between Israel and Palestine, the Gaza Strip today. I don't know who's right, I don't know who's wrong, but I do know you have two groups so solid in their convictions that they cannot talk to each other. There is a severe lack of wisdom in the Holy Land. You don't have to look any further than what's happening in Ukraine today with Russian separatists and the Ukrainian army and the Russians and the EU and the United States and the United Nations, all proposing ways of ending the conflict that is advantageous to themselves. I don't know who's right, I don't know who's wrong, but I do know there is a fine example of groups of people who cannot talk to each other. And wisdom is lacking. We don't have to look any further than our own nation. When you have in the wells of the House of Representatives two sides yelling at one another, convinced that their side is right and the other side is wrong, and it doesn't matter what the subject is. And I hate to break the news to you, but in Washington, D.C., there is a lack of wisdom. Is that a surprise? You have two or more groups who cannot talk to each other, but who insist on talking past each other. And you know what? I don't blame the politicians. I blame us. I blame the people. For we are the ones who say, go to Washington and you vote this way. Or else. Don't raise my taxes. Or else. Don't get involved in this other kind of thing. Keep those people out of America. Or else. I blame us, for we have sent them to a place and told them not to talk to each other, not to exercise wisdom, not to learn from someone who is different, who perceives differently, who has different ideas. We've told them that. In our first lesson today, you hear these proverbs beginning. You hear about what wisdom does and how wisdom goes out into the busy street corners, the marketplaces, the busiest places in society. Wisdom calls out and says, how long will you be foolish? How long will you ignore me? But you see, wisdom is in the busiest places where it is one voice competing with many others. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is that which allows us to filter through, to take from ideas that are different than our own and learn from them, to be challenged by them, maybe so that we can change, or maybe so that we are even more solidified in our own thought. But we talk, we listen, we associate with those voices that are in competition with wisdom. Wisdom is not out there by itself. It's not somewhere where you can go climb a mountain and talk to a man with a long white beard and get the secrets of life. It's not going and being in a darkened cave by yourself. Wisdom is not even found on retreats. It's found in the workplaces. It's found in the marketplaces. It's found where life is busiest. But you've got to hear it through all the competing voices. And those competing voices are real and seductive and dangerous. None more so than our age of violence that we live in. The age where it is said, the one with the most is the winner in life. The one with the most money, the one with the most power, the one with the most weapons, the one with the most muscles, the smartest, the most beautiful. Those are the winners in life, and everyone else is second class. And that is a seductive voice. Because it says, if you take this pill, you'll be more energetic for the day, and you'll accomplish more, and you will get more power and prestige. If you color your hair in this fashion, then you will be much more beautiful and able to get a spouse that will help you rise in society. In El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, the voice sounds like this. If you do not join our gang, if you do not carry our drugs, if you do not do what we say, we will kill you and your family. Yep, wisdom often gets drowned out by those competing voices. But her voice is there. Her voice is clear. How long will you listen to these others? How long will you reject knowledge? How long will you reject thoughts? How long will you reject talking to the other sides? In our age of violence, wisdom is just another voice. But she is clear. And she is right. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.